Welcome to Walden Pod. I'm your host, Emerson Green. In a piece for Eon entitled The Empty Brain, psychologist Robert Epstein writes, quote, "The information processing metaphor of human intelligence now dominates human thinking, both on the street and in the sciences. But the information processing metaphor is, after all, just another metaphor, a story we tell to make sense of something we don't actually understand. And like all metaphors that preceded it, it will certainly be cast aside at some point. The faulty logic of the information processing metaphor is easy enough to state. It's based on a faulty syllogism, one with two reasonable premises and a faulty conclusion. Reasonable premise one, all computers are capable of behaving intelligently. Reasonable premise two, all computers are information processors. Faulty conclusion, all entities that are capable of behaving intelligently are information processors." End quote. The faulty logic of the information processing metaphor also underlies the bad reasoning of many materialists. Reasonable premise one, all humans are conscious. Reasonable premise two, all humans have brains. Faulty conclusion, all entities that are capable of having consciousness have brains. You need a brain to have consciousness. This is no more sound than concluding that since candles produce light and candles have flames, flames are the only way to produce light. Humans have brains. Brains have consciousness. Brains are the only way to have consciousness. Candles produce light. Candles have flames. Flames are the only way to produce light. This mistake is easy enough to spot in other cases, but this wouldn't be the first time critical faculties were jettisoned in the defense of materialism. Materialists tend to appeal to the well-documented correlations between human brain events and mental events. Brain scans, brain damage, drug use, etc. Change the brain, change the mind. But this is an example of the fallacy of denying the antecedent. If P, then Q, not P, therefore not Q. Premise 1, if brain, then experience. 2, no brain. 3, therefore, no experience. To quote philosopher Peter Sherstead Hughes, "It is equivalent to arguing that if you drink hemlock, you will die. You did not drink hemlock, therefore you will not die, an easy way to acquire immortality. Just as there could be other ways to die, other than by hemlock, so there could be other ways to have sentience other than by having a brain." End quote. Since the no brain, no experience argument is clearly fallacious, do we have any other reason to think that there are no other ways to have experience? The materialist argument typically begins with an appeal to well-documented correlations between human brain events and mental events. Brain scans, brain damage, drug use, and so on. Followed by something approximating the mantra, change the brain, change the mind. So, it's a familiar point that correlation doesn't equal causation, but it certainly doesn't equal identity. Usually that doesn't even need to be said aloud. Just because two events are correlated, it doesn't follow that they're identical. Further arguments would need to be made and evidence offered to establish their identity. The best explanation of those correlations, the materialist would say, is that the mental events just are the corresponding brain events. It's the best explanation because it's the most parsimonious explanation, the one that doesn't multiply entities without necessity and fits neatly into our existing picture of the world without any fuss. And in general, when X's are invariably accompanied by Y's, and you can find nothing to distinguish X's from Y's, the best explanation is that X's just are Y's. The problem here is that non-physicalists have offered plenty of distinguishing features between X and Y. Sure, we don't want to multiply entities beyond necessity, but there may very well be a necessity here, considering the fact that conscious states and physical states, ordinarily construed, absolutely can be distinguished. They do not share all their properties. Vagueness arguments are my preferred way of pointing this out, but I also like how Richard Swinburne put it here.
Events with sensations, but the point I was making is that sensations are events of a quite different kind from brain events. If some Martian came and visited the Earth, he would observe us going around and doing things. But we want to know, well, are these beings conscious? Do they have feelings and thoughts and so on? Will they feel anything if I stick a needle into them? And they might, of course, scream if I do. But is there a sensation intermediate between the brain event and the scream? And mere study of what happens in the brain, every physical event you could know doesn't entail. It's not a logical consequence of them that we have sensations. These are different events, and anyone can see that unless they're totally dogmatized.
It sounds like what you're describing there is the hard problem of consciousness.
Even if the mind-brain correlation is supposed to be so impressive as to establish their identity, does that actually prove brain states are the only way to have experience? I fully accept, as a non-physicalist, the robust and intricate correlation between brain and mind. That is, human brain and human mind. I don't deny that the only way to get a human mind is to have a human brain. But that doesn't mean the category mind is exhausted by those possessing a complex nervous system. So I ask again, do we have any reason to think there are no other ways to have experience? The most natural response at this point seems to be that complex behavior is always associated with experience. So if there is consciousness, there will be complex behavior. Fair enough. But plants, fungi, viruses, and bacteria all exhibit complex behavior. Their behavior often eludes human attention since it occurs on spatial and temporal planes foreign to human beings. For example, if one observes the movement of plants on a faster timescale, our mind attribution module kicks in, just as it would for a lower animal. The same goes for the microorganisms we've only recently been able to observe using powerful microscopes. If we're willing to make an inference to consciousness in some shape from complex behavior, we'd already be inferring the existence of experience in nature far beyond creatures with nervous systems. Going so far would already be to reject materialism in its ordinary form. But if we affirm the common sense idea that complex behavior and consciousness go hand in hand, we might as well affirm panpsychism, since complex physical processes exist everywhere in nature, provided one looks at the right level of resolution. There is no complex behavior at the level of a rock, and panpsychists typically do not believe that rocks are conscious, but if we investigate further, down to the microscopic levels of process and flux, we'll see a buzzing, blooming hive of activity. Some philosophers believe that processes are more fundamental than objects, which certainly makes for a nice fit not only with modern physics, but also with panpsychism. The former is due straightforwardly to empirical findings. The latter is due to the inherently dynamic nature of consciousness. There's a stream of consciousness. Consciousness is always in flux, never quiescent. As Galen Strawson put it in his book Real Materialism, the idea of our brains is, quote, lumpish, inert matter, dense or corpuscled stuff that seems essentially alien to the phenomenon of consciousness, has given way to fields of energy, essentially active diaphanous process stuff that, intuitively, seems far less unlike the process of consciousness. End quote. Physics itself long ago killed the tidy mechanistic image of the physical world. It's revealed the structure of the physical to be, quote, an astonishingly to us, insubstantial seeming play of energy, an ethereally radiant vibrancy. End quote. So, do we have any evidence? Any evidence whatsoever? For the claim that the only way to have experience is to have a brain. No, we do not. The rash justifications offered for such a claim to knowledge typically consist of pointing out that there are correlations between our minds and our brains. If a donkey kicks you in the head, you will not enjoy the same contents of consciousness. This is enough to establish that your ordinary contents of consciousness are dependent on your ordinarily functioning brain. In other words, that human consciousness is correlated with neural activity is sufficient only to establish a connection between human consciousness and human neural activity. It's not sufficient to establish that a complex nervous system is a necessary condition for any experience whatsoever. A human brain is necessary for human consciousness, but it cannot be deemed necessary for experience based on the fallacious reasoning given. This point would be easy to grasp were it any other area. A guitar is necessary for a particular song that requires a guitar, but it doesn't follow that a guitar is necessary to produce music or sound. A candle is necessary to produce candlelight, but a candle is not necessary to the production of light, period. Likewise, a human brain is necessary to produce human consciousness, but it doesn't follow that brains are necessary to produce consciousness, period. One small point I have to make is that consciousness is not publicly observable. I infer the existence of your experience. I don't have access to it in the same way I have direct access to my own. Inference here can be quibbled with in various ways, but the important point is that I don't have access to your consciousness in the same way that I have direct access to my own. It takes a lot of philosophizing to beat this obvious truth out of you. Nevertheless, when I ask for evidence that a brain is the only way to have consciousness, it's inevitable that someone will say, well, we don't observe consciousness in things that don't have brains. Earlier, I charitably assumed that anyone who said something like this meant, we don't observe behavior we typically associate with consciousness. And as I pointed out, we actually can find complex physical behavior in microorganisms, plants, and fungi, and even down past the biological into the strictly physical. There is process and flux that is wonderfully congruous with dynamic conscious activity. But if I take the statement that we don't observe experience anywhere else less charitably, then it's just mistaken. We don't observe experience anywhere. We know it exists directly in our own case, but everywhere else, it's a different story. This isn't my opinion. We have no choice. If it was as simple as observing where experience exists in nature and where it doesn't, the entire landscape of the metaphysics of consciousness would look dramatically different. So no, we do not observe experience in things that don't have brains, but we also don't observe it in brains. Yet, brains are conscious. As a parting question, I'll ask, why are you drawing the line at brains, exactly? There are other systems in nature which exhibit complex behaviors such that it seems quite natural to attribute consciousness to them. Many such beings pass without notice, since they tend to be quite small, or very slow. But we don't occupy a privileged temporal or spatial position. It's irrelevant that their behavior doesn't happen on a temporal or spatial scale that we appreciate. Our perch is not the perch. We do not occupy a privileged position in space-time. I've only been arguing against a certain kind of materialist. Some materialists do not assert that brains or complex nervous systems are necessary for consciousness. Many materialists I know treat consciousness in computers, robots, and AI as a serious possibility. In other words, there are other configurations of matter that could correlate with experience other than complex nervous systems. If you accept this possibility, then the statement, brains are necessary for consciousness, is straightforwardly false. And if you're willing to extend consciousness to machines, why not mycelia? Why not other natural processes that exhibit complex behavior, albeit behavior quite different from human behavior, and often on a spatio-temporal scale that we do not ordinarily appreciate? Again, we're talking about bare experience, the thing that makes the hard problem hard. Not all the complexities of human experience. What is it about nature that leads you to believe that experience is an aberration that didn't appear until brains appeared? The evolution of the human brain represents a dramatic shift in nature. An exceedingly rare form of consciousness evolved when human beings evolved. But what's upholding the idea that experience itself didn't appear in nature until nerve cells first appeared? There's certainly no good reason supporting it. It's just pure prejudice. There is absolutely no good reason, not from neuroscience, physics, or philosophy, to limit experience in nature to creatures with nervous systems. Thank you for listening. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll talk to you next time.